gospel either, and I thank the Lord. I'm supposed to turn this on. I always feel like I'm the bionic preacher when I wear one of these things. You know, I'm getting everything on and ready and wired and ready to go. It's good to be here in the chapel and speaking in here to you, my friends and colleagues and students, and just thank the Lord for you so much. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me today to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. That's in the Old Testament, if you have trouble finding. It's not one of those we look at very often. The book of Habakkuk. And we're going to look at several verses in this. If I had time, I would just preach through this book verse by verse. But of course, I don't have time this morning, so I'm going to look at some selective passages as we look through this. I have looked at this passage before and shared this at my church. And I want to say the same thing to you that I have said to them, that this is not a book that I enjoy preaching from. But it is a book that God calls us to preach from, and it is a message for America today. It is a message for North Carolina. It is a message for Wake County. And we must pay attention. We must heed the Word of God, because if we do not, we will receive, I believe, the same judgment that Israel did in the day of Habakkuk. We must pay heed to the Word of God. Now, have you ever wondered, as we look at our world and the condition that our nation is in, why the ethics and the morality of this country is in the shape that it's in? It seems that we are going down a slope into degradation. I would say that your great-grandparents, maybe even your grandparents, would not believe the moral and ethical decay that has occurred in the land of the free and the home of the brave. They would not believe it. I would say I would not believe it. 10 years ago, I would not believe the place that we have come to today. It appears as if the very structure of our society is coming apart. Someone has said that sometimes it seems that everything is not nailed down, it's coming loose, and the devil is pulling nails as fast as he can. And things are just coming apart. In our current age, by one preacher, was described as an age of apostasy in the church and apathy among the people in general. Thinking about everything that's happening, if you look at our culture, you look at our nation, you look at our state, you look at our own community, it appears that things have just flip-flopped, that the world is on its head, that children are running homes, that students in our schools are running the schools, that the prisoners in our prisons have more rights and luxuries inside the jails than the victims on the outside. And we hardly know which way to turn. We hardly know what to do. But as we look into the Word of God and look at the prophet Habakkuk, he describes a situation in Israel that is so parallel, that is so close to what we are today, that I think that it ought to call us to read and to study and understand what this prophet had said to Israel in that day and says to us today. Look with me, if you will, in chapter 1, as we see the burden that this prophet had on his heart. The Bible says in Habakkuk 1, beginning in verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. And why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are those who raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and justice doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore justice goeth perverted. You know, as we look at that and we understand what Habakkuk was saying about that day, I would say, yes, Lord, today, that describes today in America. That describes today in our county. It describes today in our community. That violence is ever before us. That sin and immorality is before us. And justice is even going perverted. Oh, Habakkuk had a burden on his heart, and he wanted to know, God, why are these things happening? God, do something about what's happening. You know, I have said before, God, I just wish you'd zap them. God, I just wish you would throw a lightning bolt from heaven. Lord, just intervene and just take care of those who are taking our society and our country in a direction that is totally against your word. But Habakkuk, as he continues in sharing his burden for Israel and I believe a burden for the world today, that he's saying that things are even going to get worse. In verses 3 and 4, we read, look at verse 4, he says, therefore the law is slacked and justice doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore justice goeth perverted. Even the intent of the law is no longer followed. That the criminal has more right than the victim. Does it sound familiar? Sounds like today. Sounds like America. It seems that in our culture, in our nation, in our community, that the law is not even able to do anything about the crime and immorality and the unethical behavior that we have in this nation. And you know what the sad part is? That no one's ashamed anymore. No one is ashamed anymore. The very things that would have caused Americans to hang their head in shame no longer even cause a blush. A contemporary of Habakkuk, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 8 and verse 12, tells us about this. He says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. I am afraid that we have come to the place in our modern society, our advanced culture, that we can't even blush anymore. Your children can't blush anymore. People are flaunting their sins. A nation that doesn't blush anymore. Parents have forgotten how to blush. Children have forgotten how to blush. We must intervene and hold up the Word of God and the standard of God and say that this is the way we must go, the way of the Lord. But yet everything else is sending another message. Television is telling your children that it's all right to be sexually active before marriage. And did you know that some of you are probably participating in telling your children that it's all right to engage in premarital sex? Oh, no, I'd never do anything like that. Some people are turning on the daytime television, the nighttime television, and watching the sitcoms and watching the soap operas where a person goes from one bed to another, and little Johnny, little Mary sitting right there and watching mom, watching dad, take that in, and it sends a message that it's all right. We need to tell our children that it's not all right. We need to teach our children the way of God. The school system is telling our children that it's all right to engage in immoral behavior. Yes, the school system. He says, yes, probably right, Jim. Over in L.A. or New York or someplace like that, that they're saying that it's all right. Friends, I want to say that they're telling our children, your children, and some of you, your grandchildren. The school system is saying it's all right. If you don't believe me, you go to our public schools. And you find out, and what you will find out is that there is a program of free condom distribution and telling the children, it's all right. Just don't catch anything. Just don't get AIDS. Practice safe sex. America's gone so far that pregnancy is no longer a problem for the unmarried. If you get pregnant, you have an abortion. Some people may say, I don't like to hear this. I don't like to say it. But we must hear it. We must speak up. We must wake up because, friends, this is not New York. It is not L.A. We ought to be concerned when it was New York and L.A. But now it is right here, and it is your children, your grandchildren. It is our children, our neighbors' children. And we need to wake up because America can no longer blush. Wake County no longer blushes. I'm afraid that many Christians don't even blush anymore as we have just gotten used to sin. At a pastor's conference, I heard a humorous story about two preachers that were driving along. They claimed it was a true story. They were driving along. Little boys were at the side of the road. All of a sudden, one of the little boys picked up a mud ball that he had made, and he threw the mud ball, and it flew, not only hit the car, but it went in the window, and it hit the passenger right on the side of the face. Made him mad. The pastor yelled. He said, stop the car, back up. He said, we're going to run those kids down and teach them a lesson. Threw the car in reverse, backed up. The doors flew open, the two preachers jumped out, and the little boys just stood there. In fact, one of them stood there and puffed up his chest and said, I'm the one what throwed the mud. What do you do? I believe that we have gotten to the point, in America that we say, God, I'm the one who kills the unborn, and what are you going to do about it? I'm the one, God, that tells people that it's all right to engage in immorality. And God, I just want to know what you're going to do about it. Friend, I believe that we have gotten to the place that we are burning the moral candle on both ends and we blow the smoke in God's face. and things are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse. You know, this is not what Israel wanted to hear. It's not what we want to hear. But God's judgment is going to be poured out on His people. God had cursed His own people because of their lifestyle. Oh, God wants to bless His people, but God will curse His people. I say that if God cursed Israel, God will not think twice about cursing America. In fact, I wonder if not the curse of God has not already fallen upon this land. And why was this? Because of all the sin and all the immorality, yes, but not that entirely. Because, you know, if you understand people, that not everyone was engaged in the immoral activity. They were probably more innocent than guilty. But notice what happened. Understand what was happening in Israel. There were two things that were going on in the society besides the sin and the lawlessness and the perversion. And those two things are the same two things that are happening in modern day American churches. And those two things are alibi and apathy. You know what we say to God? We say, God, why us? Why us, God? We're not so bad. He speaks about the Chaldeans here. You know, we're not as bad as the Chaldeans. Israel say, we're not as bad as the Babylonians. You know, you put us up beside the Babylonians and we're all right, God. Why are you picking on us? You know, we don't say it that way, but we say, you know, we're pretty good. We're not like the Red Chinese. We're not like the communists. We're all right. And we alibi away our sins by saying there's somebody just a little bit worse than we are. I think the worst thing that happens in America church, in the American church, is apathy. That we just turn our back. Oh, we want to get along. We don't want anyone to say that, oh, he's radical. Oh, here's one of those religious nuts. One of those religious fanatics. We're afraid that somebody will laugh at us. Call us a holy Joe. Say, look at that guy. He thinks he's so holy. Friend, I tell you, it is time for the church to get radical and say, thus saith the Lord, and I'm going to stand upon what God says, and I don't care if they take me to jail. I don't care if they kill me, because I'd rather serve God and be killed for it. I'd rather serve God and be mocked than to hang my head before Jesus Christ on the day of judgment. Amen. Alibi and apathy. Alibi and apathy. We must take a stand. Folks, this is serious. This is the last generation that has even a hint of morality in America. The last generation. Listen to this. If you forget everything else that I've said today, remember this. If this thing is not stopped, your children, not talking about the children of somebody off out there someplace, I'm talking about, let's get personal, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor's children, will see the sin of today as the standard of tomorrow. They will see it as the standard from which we start. Immorality will be the standard from which we start. Say, well, how much worse can it get? Well, you just hold on. You hold on because, friend, it will get worse once this is set as the standard of today. The curse of God will be and will continue to be on our nation. And it'll do no good for Kate Smith to sing God Bless America. Because God, it is a disappointment to God. God's wrath will be poured out. And it will not help just to say a few right words and a few blessings like hocus pocus, you know, and now America's okay. Because we're in trouble, friends. We are in trouble. But that's not the end of this, and I'm going to have to hurry. But I want you to notice in chapter 2 what this prophet, the word that he received from God, beginning in verse 1, says, I will stand upon my watch, will set myself upon the tower, will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul that is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. How are we to meet these? And what is the word of God for us today as we meet this immorality, this disobedience towards God? First of all is the truthfulness of God's word. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets, that he may run that readeth it. We need to know what God wants us to do and what God is going to do. I am fearful that many people who sit in our churches, maybe many people who sit here that today, do not know this book, do not love this book, have not hidden its words in their hearts. Friend, we must, and we must be not only hide the Word of God in our heart, we must then obey the Word of God, because it is our hope. It gives us the direction of God. If we try to cure the ills of this society by anything other than God's way, we will fail. We've tried that, and we're still trying it, and we fail. It means also that God knows exactly what He's doing. Trust Him. Trust Him. We had better put this book in our heart and hide it there, because there is coming a day when not only will you not have the privilege to pray in school, but the Word of God will be completely taken away. Do you know it? Is it there? Say, oh, that could never happen. Probably 1961, very few Americans ever believed that prayer would not be permitted in the public schools. 1962, decision from the Supreme Court came down and removed prayer from our public schools. And then just a couple of weeks ago, someone gave me this memorandum. You need to understand that this is affecting us right here. Let me read this. I think you need to know about this if you don't already. This is from the Wake County Public School System, from the superintendent to all principals. By the way, and now all the parents of seniors have received this. And he says, as you have probably heard, a recent decision of the Supreme Court, Lee versus Wiseman, held that having prayer at secondary school graduation ceremonies violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment to the Constitution, which provides that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Isn't it interesting that they left off the last part of the First Amendment? The free exercise thereof. We have asked our school system attorneys for their opinion. And then he says, here are the new rules which your children, which your schools abide by and must abide by. The use of prayer at any student event is prohibited. Did you hear that? The use of prayer at any student event is prohibited. A moment of silence for contemplation is permissible as long as the articulated purpose is not for prayer. So y'all, you can have a moment of silence, but you can't pray. A baccalaureate service is by definition a religious service which the school system may neither conduct nor sponsor. There will therefore be no baccalaureate services that are in any way sponsored by our high schools in the future. Baccalaureate services previously scheduled for the 1993 school year have been canceled. Local churches could conduct baccalaureate services, but school personnel may not organize or participate in these ceremonies as part of their official duties. Conducting any kind of inspirational, non-religious service to replace baccalaureate, while not expressly prohibited by our attorneys, is not encouraged. There is great potential for both conflict and misinterpretation. I am including a copy of our legal counsel's opinion regarding this issue. The central office will notify parents of high school seniors due to the issues related to baccalaureate, but all principals, K through 12, are expected to enforce rules prohibiting prayer at school events and notify parents as appropriate. And then a note, handwritten note by one of our principals that says to all staff and faculty, your full compliance is expected. And I want to tell you that we are at the place once where we had religious freedom. It is now that we've had for the past few years religious toleration. And we are at the place in America where now once America, that great Christian nation, will be the place of religious oppression. Our only hope is God. Our only hope is God. And God says we must turn to Him. Oh, notice in Habakkuk what he says. Whenever what he says is going to happen, he gives a series of woes. In Habakkuk 2 and verse 6, he says, shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. In other words, woe to the dishonest. You know what our motto in America is today? Is if at first you don't succeed, do what you have to do to succeed. And then we find in chapter 2 and verse 9, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. What is that? Greed. And we are a greedy nation. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Greed. And then another woe in verse 12 of the same chapter, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establish a city by iniquity. Friend, we are a nation built upon blood, with all of the violence, with the abortion, the countless lives I know the arguments about that those unborn are not human. And people talk about all of those things, but they are. They are little children. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. And there's going to be all those who were killed, murdered, as little babies. You know, besides that, and it's wrong. Did you know that in our nation that there were 10,500 third trimester abortions last year? 10,500. This is going to shock the sensibilities of some, but we need our sensibilities shocked. It's the only thing I know to wake us up. Listen to a description of one. Here, there was a picture here of a little boy that was found. He was about almost 8 months when he was aborted. I know a lot of people that were born at 8 months. He was one of several third trimester children found in medical waste bags outside a legal abortion center in Houston, Texas. He was 14 inches long, 2 pounds, 2 ounces. His umbilical cord was ripped from his body. The face and feet were found white and bloodless, while the abdomen was severely bruised and bloodied. Both of the child's buttocks were carved off to ensure that he would bleed to death. Man, our nation has become a nation that's built upon the blood of its unborn. And I think it's just around the corner that we're going to start killing off our old people. We are a nation, a community that's gone mad before God. And we say, I don't care what you think, God. In conclusion, chapter 3 of Habakkuk tells us the response that we are to have as Christians. In chapter 3 and verse 1 and verse 2, he tells us the only hope that we have. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. The only thing that can save our nation, the only thing that can save our state, the only thing that can save our community is revival. Is revival. We must turn to God. Now don't misunderstand Habakkuk here, because his prayer was not one of blind optimism. He knew what was going on, and it made him sick. In Habakkuk 3, in verse 16, he says, while I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Habakkuk knew what was going on. He was not naive to the situation. He knew of all the things that were happening. He knew about the curse of God. He knew that what Israel deserved, what God was going to do, that God was going to, that was going to send an avenging nation that was going to come and to take over. I believe that can happen to America as we weaken ourselves, as we continue to do those things which are immoral. As, I don't know what's going to happen in the years ahead, folks. Reading last Friday's News and Observer, you know, that bastion of conservative political ideology, tells us and quotes our president-elect of what he's, some of the first things he's going to do with presidential orders. Lift the ban on homosexuals in the military. Fully make sure that there's even fully funded counseling for the abortion clinics. And on and on and on. And I believe that if we continue in this slope, that God will do something radically. He may just let us destroy ourselves. But here we are in the midst of a sick society. Habakkuk knew what was going on, but yet he said, God, send revival. Sometimes we're just tempted, you know, to put on a long face and say, woe is me, I can't do anything, and just sit back and say, what can one person do? I want to tell you, folks, I like Habakkuk. I am sick of what's happening in our nation. I am sick the rottenness is down in my bones. I am sick that our children in America and in Wake County can't read the Bible, while at the same time in Russia today, little children can pray and read God's Word. I am sick that America is killing off its unborn, and that we are now a nation built upon the blood that flows free from our unborn. I am sick that this nation will let criminals go free because they don't have room in the prisons, and on and on and on, and it makes me sick. But yet I know that God can send revival, but we must be obedient to Him. We must turn to Him. In the midst of that, I know that Jesus Christ is still a God of power, a God of salvation. He is our hope, and there's no place else to turn. In Habakkuk 3, in beginning in verse 17, Habakkuk says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields that shall yield no food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and will make me walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. I will rejoice. You can make a difference. We're not called to sit back and just go, woe is me. We're called to be obedient to God and stand for the things of God regardless of what anyone else does. The only thing that can make a difference, as Habakkuk says here, is the salvation of God. He says to us, you know, will I rejoice in the Lord? I will joy in the God of my salvation. Friend, the God of our salvation is the only thing that can make a difference. The only one that can make a difference. This world's too sick for us to make a difference without God. Satan is too strong for us to make a difference without God. Our nation has gone too far for us to make a difference without God. It is by the power of God, the salvation of Jesus Christ, and only by the revival that God can send. What can you do? You can pray, and you can seek God's face like you've never sought it before. You can make up your mind ahead of time. Don't wait until you're challenged, but make it up today what you will do. Will you stand with God and be obedient to Him?